Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Thursday morning, the Illinois Department of Public Health says the state has more than 100,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19. Those are not new cases, but that is the total number of confirmed cases. That is a big threshold that the state has crossed. There are also 4,525 deaths from the disease in Illinois now. But the agency also says hospitalizations are trending down. And because of that, it's a little bit of good news. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the state will likely begin easing stay-at-home restrictions a little more than previously thought in about a week, allowing outdoor dining at restaurants and some other things. Meanwhile, the Illinois General Assembly is back in session for the first time since the winter. Joining us to talk about this is Amanda Vinicky. She's a correspondent for Chicago Tonight on PBS station WTTW. Amanda, always great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the 21st.
I love always being on the show with you, Brian.
And Dave McKinney, who is the state politics reporter at Chicago public radio station WBEZ. Dave, welcome to the 21st to you.
Hey, Brian and Amanda, hope you guys are doing well.
I can't complain. And I'm not actually in person covering session, but Amanda, you are putting yourself, I guess, at some risk in a mass gathering. And you've been covering the legislature for, what, 15 years now? Can you take us into the... Sorry. Well, so have I. I mentioned that because you have a lot of experience covering the legislature. Can you take us into the room? What is it like? How is it different this week, as opposed to all the other times that you've covered the House and Senate of Illinois?
I can't take you into the room because thus far I have not been part of the very limited pool of media that have been allowed in the actual Senate chambers, nor in the convention center that is functioning as chambers for the Illinois House. I have, however, been in the Capitol, and certainly it is a striking difference in that there are signs everywhere requiring everything from mask wearing and social distancing to they want you to remain on the right, which in general is good policy, but I've never seen signs in the Capitol reminding me of this when you're walking up and down stairwells. So it is certainly on lockdown. Yesterday, actually, I had spent most of my morning covering some of the reopen Illinois protest, given that neither of the chambers were meeting until late in the afternoon. And then when I did get to the Capitol to sort of get all that done, I entered at the same time as the director of the state police and director of public health, Dr. Ngozi Nzike, both of whom had trouble actually getting in. You had either state police or secretary of state or state troopers, I'm not sure which, that tried to say, hey, no, you can't go in there, only members of the General Assembly. And it's really hard to tell who's who because everybody's wearing a mask. And they're like, oh, wait, you're our boss. You're the director of the state police. I guess you can go. And Dr. Ezeke did have to wait a few minutes as she was getting to the governor's office for the 2:30 daily briefing. She had to stand aside as some calls were made to get her cleared to go through. So it certainly is a different dynamic than anybody could have ever imagined, particularly at a very busy time when generally the Capitol is overflowing with people at the end of a session at the end of May.
Okay. Well, Dave, like me, you are following session remotely, and we can at least see what the room looks like, even if we can't get inside, although apparently Amanda has not been able to either. But, can you describe what the makeshift House chamber looks like in this giant convention center, and maybe talk a little bit about what happened with Darren Bailey yesterday?
Well, I mean, for those of us who have covered some governor's elections over the years, I mean, this is the place where every 4 years there's a new inauguration ceremony that takes place, and it's you see several thousand people crowded into that for those kinds of events, and for
this is where the Kiss concerts are when they're in Springfield.
Yeah, I was gonna say, right? Yeah. Elton John and Willie Nelson, and I think I saw a Willie Nelson show there once. And
Elton John,
absolutely. So anyway, this is the venue. I mean, it's got a lot of capacity, and they picked it out because, of course, in the House you got 118 members, and you've got staff, and then there's a whole cadre of lobbyists, but they're on the outside as well. But just, getting all of those people 6 feet apart, was impossible in the House chamber. So this is the place in Springfield that was the next best choice. And, I think that, yesterday was really kind of a procedural day in a lot of ways, where they were just kind of everybody getting used to this new reality of what governing is like in Springfield. And so, naturally, this kind of tempest involving Darren Bailey kind of captured everybody's fancy for a while, because, you know, here you have a guy who has been a thorn in the governor's side because he has sued in a favorable legal venue, Clay County, you know, to try to block the governor's stay-at-home order. And he has had some success in doing that, of course, because there was a ruling that came out in favor of his initial lawsuit, but it pertained only to him. So he refiled, and now he's trying to get the whole thing dropped for everybody. And so anyway, he comes to session, and he basically is not willing to wear a mask. And that was one of the dictates that House rules determined, that they were voted on right out of the gate. And so, you know, he's making a stink about that. And it was, you know, in the end, you have this situation where the entire House chamber takes a vote to kick him off the floor because he won't comply with House rules. And even a dozen Republicans voted to do that, including the House Minority Leader, Jim Durkin.
Yeah, fascinating times. And, you know, while we're on the subject of this, as he was going out, I guess he talked to some of the people who were there for a protest. And Amanda, you mentioned covering the protest. And I think just to give it some context briefly before we move on to some of the policy things we want to talk about. But, you know, you see people tweeting images from that, or maybe you see it on the TV news and the frame is filled with people. Was this a massive protest? Can you describe the size of this? What was it like?
It was not what I would describe as massive by any means. And in fact, those who've covered some of the protests also in Springfield that took place on weekends, this was much smaller than those. Those may have numbered more close to the thousands. This, I would say, was a couple hundred. It was certainly not organized. There wasn't chanting the entire time. But sure, people were very much spirited. They were at the doors of the convention center, really shouting at politicians who couldn't hear them. But I mean, their anger was real. Some people that I interviewed said that they think this is all a conspiracy on the part of government. But most people said they believe that people should be trusted to stay inside if they are unwell. And they think that the stay-at-home order has merely gone too far and is ruining their livelihoods, and that this is a government overreach. There certainly were a lot of people wearing shirts that either were patriotic in nature, the American flag. More popular than that, I would say, would be Trump attire. So some MAGA hats and pro-Trump. Or also, there were a whole lot of new T-shirts that I hadn't seen that said things like Pritzker sucks. And so there's a lot of animosity among that crowd toward Governor J.B. Pritzker. It's the opposite for Darren Bailey, who, when I was at this protest, when he approached the convention center, and he was heralded with cheers of Bailey for governor, and people wanting to take selfies with him.
And of course, not even in the chamber to vote, though, to represent his constituents, because he refused to wear a mask. So, all right, let's
exactly. Not
leave
that there was much to do, actually, yesterday.
Right, fair enough.
We'll see if he shows up with a mask now that policy is underway.
Yeah.
But you know, you guys, the other thing to point out about Bailey that's interesting is that, you know, he's in a state Senate race. He wants to elevate his profile, presumably, mm-hmm. to make some hay in November and get, you know, to win election to the Senate. He's already gotten on Fox News as a result of the lawsuit, and so you have to sort of look at this mask thing as being, partly motivated by just trying to get that exposure.
I think last time I checked, he actually didn't have a candidate in that Senate race in any opposition. But certainly he wants to elevate his profile, and with people, I think very few politicians would hate for people to say, like, we want you to run for governor. We love you. I mean, that's probably some personality thing here, but I do think that it is elevating his profile, and he sees it, as do some of these individuals, very much as a crusade. Another popular thing was, you know, this is tyranny. It is certainly a point of view where he says he's representing his district. Again, clearly even members of his own party and the majority of Illinois' elected officials see it just opposite.
You know, and
governor
had
some pretty harsh words for him.
A Facebook mm-hmm. Live thing last night that, you know, after all of this talked about or came about, and he talked about speaking for millions of people in the state. And I just thought, you know, that's an interesting thing there. I mean, millions of people in a 12.7 million populated state.
The polling doesn't suggest that millions, that share of Illinoisans are unhappy with the stay-at-home orders.
But it's hard to see the math.
Yeah, but there is some discontent out there, and it seems like the governor is hearing that, although he says he's basing his sort of changes on science. And I should add, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with Dave McKinney from WBEZ in Chicago. He covers state government there, and Amanda Vinicky of WTTW's Chicago Tonight. They're both covering the Illinois General Assembly's legislative session. Dave, yesterday, Governor Pritzker said he would be easing up on some of the restrictions in the stay-at-home restrictions in Phase 3, which he says all regions of Illinois are on track to meet in about a week from now. What can people expect, starting with restaurants?
Well, I mean, that was sort of the big takeaway, I think, from what he talked about doing with these relaxed changes that are going to be coming as part of Phase 3. You know, before, under his original plan with these phased-in scenarios, restaurants weren't going to be able to do anything other than curbside delivery, and you know, they couldn't really function where people would go there and actually dine. And so he softened up on that, and you know, it was basically a gift to an industry that is, you know, just hemorrhaging. And so what it's going to allow is that, you know, people will be allowed to do outdoor dining, as you mentioned, so long as the tables are spaced 6 feet away and away from sidewalks. I still think that presents, you know, certainly in Chicago, it presents a dilemma for some restaurants that don't maybe have parking, because the sidewalk is really their only outdoor option, you know. So I don't know how quite that's going to work. But again, the head of the Restaurant Association here in Illinois, Sam Toya, presented it as a lifeline to this industry that has lost, you know, 400,000 jobs since this pandemic, you know, took hold about a month and a half ago. And so that's the big takeaway. I mean, there are other elements that he's dealing with, but the restaurants, this is a big thing for them. They need this. Many of them are going out of business, of course.
And I'm just going to quickly go over some of the other things that you mentioned. I think all the state parks are going to be opening up. Up to 10 people would be allowed on a boat. I guess under current rules, it's only two, although I do not have a boat. And then tennis courts will be reopening. And Amanda, yesterday also, and we only have about 4 minutes left in our conversation, so there's a lot of ground to cover. But Governor Pritzker backed down, I guess, from criminal penalties for businesses that violate the COVID restrictions. And I guess I would challenge you to if you could briefly update us on that without using the phrase JCAR.
Well, do my darndest, Brian. So this was actually an emergency rule that the Pritzker administration had really kind of tried to slip through, it seemed, quietly. And then as soon as word got out about it, there was immense backlash, because it would have allowed police and state's attorneys to issue misdemeanors to businesses that opened to customers in defiance of coronavirus restrictions and precautions. And the Pritzker administration had said, you know, this is a gentler tool. This is better than stripping you of your liquor license or forcing a restaurant or a salon to close down. But a misdemeanor, while the Pritzker administration said the intent was merely to fine an establishment, again, they phrased it as sort of an easier way, a misdemeanor could bring jail time. And so that was where you saw people really get up in arms about it. The governor did withdraw the rule, or at least the Pritzker administration did. I'm not sure he wanted to. There really wasn't a sign that he wanted to. Rather, I think it may have been recognition that this was going to be a rare occasion where it might have been embarrassing for him had he allowed it to go through that, oops, I might say it, through that committee. Let's say legislators would have perhaps rejected the emergency rule and said no to it. Instead, he's asking the General Assembly to implement something that would merely give civil penalties. We will see if that happens. Certainly, it doesn't seem as if Republicans, at the very least, are on board with that. And barring passage of a law that would give misdemeanor authority to law enforcement, the governor said he'll be back with another emergency rule.
Okay. Well, the legislators this week are also debating the budget. We're not going to have time to really talk about that, but, you know, there will be future opportunities to do so. Dave, the last thing I want to ask you about, and maybe just a little more than a minute, about a minute left. Lawmakers are also looking at changes to voting laws this week. Can you give us a few of the highlights there?
Well, I mean, they're making it easy. I mean, this is already a very easy process in Illinois to get a ballot to vote by mail, but they're making it easier. And you know, you can go to a variety of different places online under this proposal and have, you know, have one arriving at your door, basically, and you can submit it. That's part of it. You know, they're creating or expanding a state holiday on Election Day for schools, because, you know, as we saw in Chicago and all over the states, so many polling places shut down unexpectedly, you know, and nursing homes and the like. And this would enable, having people cleared out of school buildings would enable more polling places to kind of, locate in them and get bigger. So, I mean, this is part of a Democratic effort to try to, you know, make it easier for people to get to the polls in a pandemic. And, you know, it doesn't look like the Republicans are going to be on board with this. But right now, they're in the super minorities. So it looks like it's probably going to get to the governor's desk.
Well, as always, Dave McKinney and Amanda Vinicky, I want to thank you for being on board with me here on the 21st. Thanks for joining us today to talk about this.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks. Stay well, guys.
And you can always follow Amanda and Dave's coverage. Again, Amanda Vinicky is a reporter with Chicago Tonight from WTTW News. She's also actively tweets during session at Amanda Vinicky. Same thing with Dave McKinney, who's a political reporter at WBEZ. He is at Dave McKinney. We'll tweet out those handles and everything else that we do on the show here at 21st Show. I'm at Brian Mackey. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.